This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After the Battle of Hunain, the battle that the Prophet ﷺ fought against Hawazin, one of the tribes of Arabia, one of their tactics of war was they brought their women and their children to the battlefield, and their money on top of it. And they brought them to the battlefield so that they could say to their soldiers, this is what you are fighting for, and if you lose this battle, you will lose your women and your children and your possessions. And the battle ensued, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to the believers. In the aftermath of this battle, there was chaos. As you can imagine, the heat of the battle, people are moving. And amongst all of this, a woman is running around trying to find her child who is lost. And she's looking all over the place, grabbing every child she could find and looking to that child to see if it's hers. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions are witnessing this woman who is crying and weeping and desperate to find her child. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns to his companions. When they see this woman desperately running around until she finally finds her child, and she grabs her child, and she hugs her child, and she's crying over her child. We've all maybe seen a scene like this. A mother loses her child in a shopping mall, loses her child in a park, and when she finds that child, her emotions pour out. And the Prophet and the companions are witnessing this happen. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then asks his companions, "Atarawna hadhihi?" He said, can you imagine this woman throwing her child into a fire? Meaning, if there was a fire right now, would this woman take this child, the one that she was desperately running around trying to find, this child that she started to cry and to weep when she found the child and was hugging the child and weeping over the child and kissing the child? Can you imagine this woman will take this child that she was so desperate to find and would throw that child into the fire? أَتَرَوْنَ هَذِهِ طَارِحَةً وَلَدَهَا فِي النَّارِ. And the companions are amazed by this question. What kind of question is this? We just saw the love this mother has for the child. We just saw her tears for this child, her desperation for this child. She would give up everything in the world, including herself, rather than give up this child. So they said to the Prophet, لا والله لا طارحة ولدها في النار. They said, no, by Allah, this woman would never throw her child into the fire. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was always a teacher to us, he said to them, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِي إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَرْحَمْ بِعِبَادِهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمِّ وَلَدِهَا. He said, I swear by the one in whose hand my soul is in. Indeed, without doubt, Allah is more merciful with His servants than this mother is with her child. Allah is more merciful to His ibad, to His servants, than this mother is with her child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself throughout the Quran in many different descriptions. Al-Aziz, the one with power. Al-Jabbar, the one who is dominant. Al-Qawi, the one who is strong. But when Allah Azza wa Jalla described His mercy, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described His mercy, He said, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. He said, my mercy encompasses everything. My mercy overtakes everything. And we see the examples of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing us the power and the importance of His mercy throughout the Qur'an. He gives us the example of Ayyub alayhi salam, a prophet living in honor, with food, with drink, with children, with wives, with homes and blessings. And Allah chooses to test him with all that he has. His children would die. His homes and his wealth would be lost. And he would be struck with illness and disease. And the people that love him, the people that love him would kick him out of their town because of his disease. And his wife would cut off her own hair to sell it just to feed them out of their extreme poverty. And through all of this, Ayyub alayhi salam is patient until he hears two men speaking to each other. One of them saying, "Did you see what happened to this man? He had so much and it's all gone. It must be because he sinned a huge sin and Allah is punishing him." And here Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam, when he saw that people were becoming doubtful about their own prophet, and that he worried this may cause them to turn away from Allah Azza wa Jal, or to disobey their own prophet, this is when he made dua to Allah Azza wa Jal. وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ. Allah says, remember when Ayyub called out to his Lord, and he said, harm has afflicted me. What did he say? Did he say, oh Allah, with your power, remove this harm? With your strength, take away this harm? Did he say, oh Allah, you heal, so heal my harm? He didn't say any of this. All he said, وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. You are the most merciful. Harm has afflicted me, and you are the most merciful of all those who can show mercy. He turned to the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Oh Allah, you are the most merciful, so show me mercy in my weakness. Show me mercy in my needs. Show me mercy with my people. Oh Allah, deal with us in your mercy and not with your punishment. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. Allah says, we immediately responded to him. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ ضُرُّ. And we removed all the harm that was upon him. وَآتَيْنَاهُ أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَهُمْ. And we returned to him his family and that which is like back to him. رَحْمَةً مِنْ عِنْدِنَا. This is only a mercy from us. وَذِكْرَى لِلْعَابِدِينَ. And a reminder to those who worship us. A reminder to everyone who is tested to know that Allah is merciful. A reminder to anyone who is ill, to anyone who is in need, to anyone who has been accused, to anyone whose wealth has been taken away, to anyone whose children have become ill, to know that Allah indeed is the most merciful of all those who show mercy. Throughout the Quran, Allah is showing you His mercy. It was the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal that made the fire cool and calm to Ibrahim. It was the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that descended upon Yusuf when he was thrown into the well or thrown into the dungeon of Egypt. It was the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal that descended upon our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was struck in a ta'if with sticks and stones. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would call out to Allah and Allah Azza wa Jal would show him from his mercy. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My mercy encompasses all things. قَالَ وَمَنْ يَقْنُطُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الطَّالُونَ. No one rejects or despairs from the mercy of Allah except the one who is truly misguided. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates a hadith from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of two men from Bani Israel. One of them was obedient to Allah, and the other one was disobedient. And the one who was obedient would constantly advise the disobedient. He would admonish him. He would enjoin upon him good, forbid upon him evil. And the disobedient man would never respond to his advice. Day after day, he would tell him, "Leave this evil and turn back to Allah." And the disobedient man would say, "Da'ani wa Rabbi. Da'ani wa Rabbi. Leave me with my Lord. I will turn to Allah. Leave me with Allah Azza wa Jal." Until one day, the obedient one responded with a heart full of pride, with a heart full of ego and arrogance. He was not calling him to obey Allah, but really calling him to obey himself. So he said, "Wallahi la yaghfiru Allahu lak." He said, "I swear by Allah that Allah will never forgive you." This man tried to withhold the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. مَا يَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatever Allah opens to the people, unleashes to the people of His mercy, no one can withhold it. But from his pride and his arrogance and his anger, he tells that man, "Allah will never forgive you." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to this man in the hadith. And he said, "مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَتَأَلَّى عَلَيْهِ Who is the one who tries to rise above me? Who is this one who thinks that he is above me? Who is this one that thinks that he can order or limit the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" Allah will say to them on the day of judgment, according to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَتَأَلَّى عَلَيْهِ قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَهُ وَأَحْبَطْتُ عَمَلَكَ Allah will say to him, "Who is this one who thinks that he is above me? I have forgiven him and I have made all your good deeds worthless." Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates this hadith. He comments after it and he says, "قَالَ كَلِمَةً أَوْبَقَتْ عَلَيْهِ دُنْيَاهُ وَآخِرَتَهُ He said, he said one word that destroyed his dunya and destroyed his akhirah. Why? Because he tried to limit the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he tried to exclude someone from the mercy of Allah azza wa jal. He tried to say to him, "Wallahi, Allah will never forgive you." When this man maybe was going to repent. This man was maybe going to turn to Allah azza wa jal. A man once came to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was a very old age, weak. His back was crouched. His eyebrows were so thick they were covering his eyes. He lived many, many years. He came to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaning upon a stick. And he said, "Ya Rasulullah, ara'aytu rajulan 'amala adh-dhunub kullaha." He said, "O Messenger of Allah, have you thought about a man who committed all of the sins? Falam yatruk minha shay'a." He didn't leave behind a single sin. مَا تَرَكَ حَاجَةً وَلَا دَاجَةً إِلَّا أَتَاهَا He didn't leave a single sin. Not the urgent sin, nor the needless sin. The sin where he felt pressure, he had to do it, he did that sin. And the sin where he didn't feel any pressure, he still did it. He said he didn't abandon a single one of these sins, illa ataha, except that he went and he did these sins. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said to him, لو قسمت خطيئته على أهل الأرض لوسعتهم. He said, if we distributed his sins upon the people of the earth, if we gave one of his sins to each person on earth, there would be more sins than there are people. And then he said, فَيَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فَهَلِّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ تَوْبَةٍ He said, O Messenger of Allah, does this person have the ability to repent? Is it possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive the sin of this person? And this man stood standing in front of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has no money to give. He has no strength to lend. He can't fight a battle with our Prophet. He can't give charity to the poor. He can't do anything. He's walking on his stick. He's weak and he's old. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looks to this man and he tells him, "Hal aslamt? Have you accepted Islam?" Knowing that Allah can forgive all of the sins except for shirk. And the man says, "Na'am." He says, "Yes, I've accepted Islam." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yaghfiru Allahu lak." Allah will forgive your sins. And the man turned to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in disbelief. How is this possible? He said, "Ya Rasulullah, wa ghadarati wa fajarati." He said, "O Messenger of Allah, ghadarati, my deceptive sins, the ones I hid from people, that I deceive people with them, wa fajarati, and the sins that were open, that everyone can see, wa ghadarati wa fajarati, even these Allah will forgive." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Qala wa ghadaratuk wa fajaratuk." He said, "Even the deceptive sins and even the open sins." Anas radiallahu anhu said, the man kept saying, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." He said, "فَوَاللَّهِ مَا زِنَّا نَسْمَعُ تَكْبِيرَهُ حَتَّى غَهْبَ عَنَّا." He said, "We didn't stop hearing his takbir until we couldn't see him anymore. All he could say was, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. This is your Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us a rhetorical question in the Quran. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ. Do they not know that Allah Azza wa Jalla, that He is the one who accepts repentance from His servants? This is who you are dealing with. You are not asking your friend for forgiveness. You're not even asking your mother or your father for forgiveness. You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ali radiallahu anhu said, "If you told me on the day of judgment, it would be my mother and my father who are judging my sins, I would have no hope. But when I know it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judging my sins, I am full of hope." This is your Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us another story of a man to show you the magnitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. A man who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with wealth, yet he committed haram. And when death came to him, he gathered his children. He said, "What kind of father have I been to you?" They said, "You have been the best father." He said, "Wallahi lam af'al khayran qat." He said, "By Allah, I never did anything good in my life." And he said to them, "So listen to my wasiyah. Listen to what I'm asking you to do." He said, "When I die, فَأَحْرِقُونِي ثُمَّ اسْحِقُونِي ثُمَّ ذَرُونِي فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ." He said, "When I die, cremate my body, burn me. And then after that, grind me up. And then take me and scatter me across the ocean and scatter me across the land. Part of me in the ocean and part of me in the land." He said, "For by Allah, if Allah is able to bring me together, He will punish me more than anyone He has ever punished." And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, on the day of judgment, Allah will command and he will be gathered together. And he will be brought in front of Allah azza wa jalla. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, "مَا حَمَلَكَ عَلَى مَا صَنَعْتَ." What caused you to do what you did? Why did you do this? And the man will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Ya Rabb, خَشْيَتُكَ." He said, "Oh Allah, I did this only because I was afraid of you. I did this only because I have fear of you." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to this man, "قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكَ." I have forgiven you. I have forgiven you. If you think about this hadith, This man committed all this evil. And on top of that, the scholars say, look, he had doubt about the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. He said, if Allah can bring me together, which is disbelief, but they said he was ignorant. So he committed all these sins, plus he was ignorant. But he had sincere fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite this, because of the sincerity of his fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, forgives his ignorance and forgives his sins and enters him into Jannah. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My mercy overcomes all things. This is what we need to be thinking about. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions to us that Allah, وَاللَّهِ لِلَّهِ أَشَدُّ فَرْحًا بِتَوْبَةِ الْعَبْدِ. Allah is in greater intensity of happiness with the tawbah, the return of His servant, مِنْ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمْ, than if one of you were to come during a trip. And during this trip, you have all of your food and your drink on your camel. And in the middle of the desert during your trip, your camel were to run away. He said, so the man starts to dig himself a grave. If he has no camel to transport him, no food, no water, in the middle of the desert, he knows for sure he's going to die. So he digs a grave. He knows nobody's going to bury him. So he thinks, let me bury myself. He digs his own grave. And he lies in his own grave. He said, and as he looks up, ready to die, he sees the camel has returned and is looking at him. He said, the man jumps up and grabs the camel. This is his life. This camel is his life. He grabs the camel. And from the intensity of his happiness, he cannot even control his words. So he says, O Allah, I am the Lord and you are the slave. Because he meant to say the opposite. O Allah, you are the Lord and I am the slave. When we reach this level of happiness, we can be delusional almost. We cannot even know how to speak words properly. The Prophet ﷺ said, I swear by Allah, Allah is more happy with the tawbah, the return of His servant. His servant turning to Allah, saying, O Allah, I committed these sins, please forgive me. Allah is more happy with you coming back to Him than with that man was with the return of the camel. No human being is more happy than the moment they think they're going to die and they get another chance. And Allah is more happy than that. More intense in His happiness when you come back to Him. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. The mercy of Allah encompasses all things. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا لَكُمْ اسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. We are in the 10 most important days in the calendar of a Muslim. The best 10 days of the year. And in these 10 days, in the next few days, will be the day of Arafah. And this day the Prophet ﷺ told us, the one who fasts, the sins of the previous year are forgiven. And the sins of the coming year are also forgiven. And the scholars say these are all the minor sins. Imagine all the minor sins you did. Every time you slighted someone, you upset someone. Every time you made small mistakes here and there that you don't even think about. You can't even capture them and write them down for how many there are. In one day of fasting from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you fast it with sincerity, and Allah will forgive all the minor sins of the past year and of the future year. What's left? The major sins. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there is no day that shaitan is more angered than the day of Arafah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there is no dua that is better than the dua of the day of Arafah. And this is not only for the Hujjaj. Because the hadith says the day of Arafah. Yes, the Hujjaj have what they have, what is the most amazing. But the Prophet said the day of Arafah. The Sahaba Anas ibn Malik radiallahu an would leave his family on this day, spend the entire day in the masjid making dua, even though he was not doing Hajj. What's left is the major sins. You make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You churn to Allah. You make dua in all of these 10 days, especially on the day of Arafah. And if you do this, Allah will give you the reward as if you did Hajj and you have no sins at the end of this day. You're dealing with a merciful Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So turn to Him and ask Him and beg Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Him to remove all of the sins that we've accumulated in these days. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this is His mercy. When people came to Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala, and they asked him on the day of Arafah, "Man aswa'un nas?" Who are the worst people? They had something in mind. Because there was a group of people who are thieves. And they came to the plains of Arafah that day. So they went to Sufyan, they said, "Who are the worst people today?" They wanted him to say, "These thieves are the worst people." And Sufyan radiallahu anhu, he said, "The worst people on this day are the ones who despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all of your heart and ask Him for His forgiveness in these days. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our tawbah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all of His mercy. Ameen. Inna Allahu malaikatu yusalluna 'ala an-nabiyyi ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima.